Yes, kids, keep up the good work. I still remember some of those verses that I learned back in King's Kids all those many years ago. That's just a wonderful foundation, get you started off, right? Just hiding God's word in your heart. And those verses will stay with you. I mean, they'll stay with you. Keep working on them. Keep doing a good job. Such a blessing to see. Well, it's great to be with you once again. Thankful for the opportunity Brother Merrick gave me to preach and you all inviting me here. And my name is Ben Forrester. I'm from Berean Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri. And for some of you who didn't get the spiel this morning because you were in another place, I'm just going to give you a quick kind of a little bit about myself. And so I grew up in Berean Baptist Church. I got to know Pastor Jeff, who is from the Jeff Ables era here at Calvary. Okay, so we've got a decent, like everybody over here this side, no. So okay. You guys keep it segregated that way from the Jeff Ables ministry and Brother Merrick ministry. But so anyway, I was connected with Brother Ables when he was a student at Baptist Bible College in Springfield. So I got to know him. My family got to know him there. We knew him when he moved up here. Our families were pretty close friends, so we'd come up and visit when the church was over in the little building over here, and we got to come and see it sometimes, and never in a million years would I think I'd be preaching at Calvary Baptist Church in Knobnostra. And it's just it's a real privilege, and I really, really appreciate being here. And then also, your church has also been a blessing to me through many of the members that have come through Calvary through the years. They're friends of mine, like Shane Mallard or Brother Hastings or other folks like that who have been here at various times. Yes, Mitch O'Neill, who is my son-in-law's dad that I've gotten to know too. So this church has definitely been a blessing to me by proxy in many different ways. And it's just a real privilege being with you all. My wife, Sarah, and my son, Kelvin, he's our youngest of our four kids, is with us tonight. And I appreciate them coming and being here. Well, we're going to be in do not stand. Do not stand yet. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 1, but I like to do a little pre-introduction before we actually do the reading, kind of get our heads thinking about what we're going to read here in just a moment. But did anybody ever read any comic books as a kid? We've got a few folks that did. There's maybe some other people that don't want to admit it that they did read comic books as a kid, too. I definitely did. I was a nerd as a kid, and I liked comic books. And I would go over to my grandma's house, and my uncles would have some comic books squirreled away in their closet. And, you know, sometimes at grandma's house, there isn't necessarily a ton of things to do. My grandma wasn't a big toy person or things like that. Her idea of good fun was going out in the garden and helping her and work out in the garden and pull weeds and things like that. But every once in a while, we get to be inside, and I would rifle through my uncle's closets, nosing around, and I'd find a comic book in there, and I'd maybe find a Spider-Man or an old Superman comic. And as you get through the rest of it, you'd get done with the comic book, and then what's at the very end, for those that read comic books, you know, there's the ads at the end. You know, they've got the X-ray glasses. That's always a very popular one. The sea monkeys, you could send off for sea monkeys. That was another important one. And then there was always another comic within the comic, and it was like another little comic in there. And so I'd always read that comic, and it was about this scrawny little guy. Yes, you're right ahead of me. There's a scrawny little guy, and so imagine this scene. For those of you who don't know, just bear with me. So the scrawny little guy, and he's on the beach with his girl, and then the big burly guy comes walking up and pushes him out of the way and is bullying the poor little weak guy. And the girl is so disappointed in him, and he's not a real man, and he is, you know, he says, "Oh, don't let it bother you, little boy." That's what the girl tells him, because he's not, the scrawny 97-pound weakling is not a real man. Well, lo and behold, he's very frustrated. He gets back to his house, and he starts rifling through things, and he finds an ad for the Charles Atlas system. And he's like, "Man, this is worth a shot. I'm going to send my 10 cents in with my little coupon," and he gets the book and starts doing the easy exercises in his thing. And the next scene cuts to, he is just absolutely ripped. He's standing in the mirror. And guess where he goes back to? back to the beach, of course. He goes back to the beach, and this time he says, here's something I owe you, and socks the bully in the mouth, which I guess is just promoting straight-up violence here. That's how you deal with bully. But this is in the good old days when you could do stuff like that. And then the girl comes up, and she's like, now you're a real man after all. And so this comic, I mean, nowadays we're much more sophisticated than that, of course, and we don't resort to violence, and we have our gym memberships and do all those kinds of things. But this resonated very much with people, especially young men in particular, so much so that Charles Atlas sold 6 million of his systems and likely became a millionaire himself from this cartoon. Now, why did that work? Why was that so resonant with people? Well, the reality of it is no one wants to be the 97-pound weakling. No one wants to be the wimpy little person that gets beat up on and picked up on and kicked around and sand kicked in their face and nobody looks up to them and respects them. And, you know, though that is in a physical sense that no one wants to be like that, I think sometimes in a spiritual sense, we can feel like internally like that 97-pound weakling. Like we don't have confidence in our ability to witness or our confidence in our ability to be the man of God that we are supposed to be, to lead our family in the way that we ought to be the wife or spouse that we are supposed to be. Sometimes we feel like that, and sometimes we need to understand that God wants us to be strong. He doesn't want us to be weak. He doesn't want us to be discouraged. He wants to encourage us very much. And we find in our passage that we're going to read here in just a second that God is encouraging Joshua. I mean, to set the scene for you for a moment, think about this. Moses has passed off the scene. And now God has called Joshua to be the next leader of the nation of Israel. And you think about Moses, the man who goes before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and says, let my people go. And God allows him to perform the miracles that he did. And they lead him out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And they cross through the Red Sea and all the wonderful things that... Now, there were certainly troubles and tribulations with Moses and the children of Israel going through the Promised Land and eventually getting through the Promised Land. But now Joshua is called to be that person. And God is encouraging Joshua really in two things that we're going to see repeated over and over again in this passage, just 9 short verses. One is to be strong. And as we think about being strong, it has the idea of being firm, courageous, confident. And one of the ways that Strong's defines it, and I think it has great application in this text, is having physical passive power, having the ability to bear or endure firm. And so when we think about that, you know, when we say a bridge is strong, we don't think it has rippling muscles and it's really strong, but it has the ability to endure. It has the ability to stand resolute, to keep, even when the big truck drives over the top of it, the bridge doesn't flex or bend, it just carries that weight on top of it. And that's the kind of strength that he's wanting Joshua to have. And the second thing is he wants him to be of a good courage. And the courage has the idea of being able to encounter danger or difficulties with firmness, without fear, without depression of spirits, valor, boldness, resolution. And as we think about this tonight, the Christian life is not for the faint of heart. The Christian life is not for the 97-pound weakling. We need people who are strong. We need people who are courageous. And I hope tonight we can challenge and encourage each one of you that God wants, just as he was charging Joshua, we can take that exact same charge tonight and be the Christians, be strong in the Lord, be courageous to accomplish the work that God has called us to do. So let's stand together and let's look in Joshua chapter 1 this evening. Beginning reading in verse 1, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. And it says this, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's ask God to bless the reading of his word this evening. Lord, we thank you so much for the charge that we have here in the book of Joshua. Lord, thank you for how you use Joshua in his ministry. And I pray that we would be challenged this evening to be strong, to be courageous, to follow you, to obey you, to do your will and serve you to the very best of our abilities. Just bless Calvary Baptist here in Knobnosser, that they would be a great light for you in this town and in the surrounding communities, Lord, that many people would be saved, that the gospel would be sent out. Lord, thank you for the churches that have been planted from this church. Lord, we thank you that another church is going to be planted very soon. And Lord, we pray that you would just bless that as that goes on. Bless the missionaries that they've sent out. And I pray that they would just continue to go forward for you and do great things, serving you for your honor and glory and for the advancement of your kingdom. Just help me, Lord, as I preach tonight, just to convey the truth from your word and help each person to be spirit-filled and ready to receive your word this evening. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this evening. So here in the passage, we see that Moses is dead and it is time to go in the promised land. Finally, after 40 years of wandering. Can you imagine that? Being there for that long, and now it is finally time. The excitement that would be there. And the sad thing is, you think about it, they didn't have to be there for 40 years wandering in the wilderness. That was not God's plan. That was not according to God's plan. God's plan was them to go out of Egypt and go right into the promised land and have victory there and conquer and do all those kinds of things. But because of their disobedience, they weren't able to do that. But now it is time, and Joshua is the man to lead them there. And the promised land is all theirs. Now, as we read in the book of Joshua, we understand that they didn't fully claim that as they should, especially as we go into Judges. We're going through Judges in Sunday school right now, teaching through that. And boy, that is a tough book to teach. That is rough, just seeing the consequences of not wholly following after the Lord. And as we read Judges, we understand that's not what God intended for the nation of Israel at all. But it's a great picture that shows us when we do not obey God, when we aren't strong and courageous and follow everything that God says, the great consequences of this. But the promised land was promised all the way back from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. Then Jacob even told Joseph about it. And even Joseph understood that they were going to the promised land, because if we recall all the way back in Genesis chapter 50, he says, what does he tell the children of Israel as he's getting ready to pass off the scenes? He says, you're going to bury my bones here in Egypt, but when you guys get out of here, I want to be buried in God's land where he promised. He's like, take my bones with you. And that's exactly what the children of Israel did. They took his bones and buried him in the promised land. And so he was also a recipient of that promise. And now God is telling Joshua, I am with you just like I was with Moses. I mean, what a promise that Joshua had, knowing after all he had seen with Moses, that he was going to experience that same thing. that he was going to receive it. He was going to receive, God was going to be with him. God was with Moses in a very great way. And that had to encourage his heart. But you can see that maybe there was some trepidation there with Joshua. I mean, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, can you imagine filling Moses' shoes and being Joshua and understanding what we're getting ready to do? Because he knew what they were. Now it's not wandering in the wilderness. It's time for conquest. It's time to take cities. It's time to cross over the Jordan River. There's all these things that he has ahead. So what does God tell him here in verse 6? Let's notice here in verse 6. He says this, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." So Joshua, he's ready to divide it. God's telling him he's going to divide it because the land is theirs. You can only divide something up that belongs to you. Like, I can't divide up Brother Sam's pizza and give it to you. That's not right. If it's his pizza, he gets to divide it up how he sees fit. And in the same way, that land was Joshua's to divide up because it was going to be theirs. And God is going to keep his promise just like he made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. And one of the things that we find from this, that Joshua can be strong and of a good courage because God is going to do what he said he was going to do. And that's something we need to have confidence in that will encourage us to be strong and of a good courage because we can count on the words of God. Now, we may make promises to our kids sometimes about things that we're going to do and things that we're going to not do. And sometimes we do our best to follow through, but sometimes we don't always follow through with our promises that we make. Sometimes for a variety of different reasons, we can't always keep our promises. But our God isn't that way. He always keeps his promises. The promises that he made here, he is not going to fail. And he is encouraging Joshua to be strong because he is not going to fail him. He is going to do precisely what he said all the way back to Abraham that he is going to do. And also he's telling Joshua to be strong and of a good courage because the road ahead is not going to be easy. It's not going to be an easy road that he's going to have to do. They understand that Jericho is just right over. That is the next thing that they have to face. And we understand the challenges that came associated with that. But he's encouraging Joshua to be strong, to be ready. And you know, as they go into the promised land, they weren't just going to get it. God just wasn't going to tie it up in a nice bow and give it to them. For them to be the recipients of the promises, they had to do work on their part. And that is the same for us too. There is work required on our part for us to be the recipients of the promises that God has for us. The second thing we see in verse number 7, if you'll notice here, he says once again, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." So here in verse 7, he's telling him to be strong and of a good courage. And why is he telling him to be strong and of a good courage? The first thing we see is that he may obey the law. And not just some of the law, all of the law. And if we'll be honest with ourselves again, it sometimes takes some strength and some courage to obey all the law, to do everything that God wants you to do. It's not fun standing out in a crowd. There's probably a lot of people wondering why we're even meeting on a Sunday night tonight. Not everybody is doing that. And some of the things we do as independent Baptists are not going to make us socially acceptable and popular with everyone else. But if we're doing things according to the Word of God, you know what we can be? We can be strong and courageous because we're trying to do our very best to keep all that God had said. And we don't need to make apologies for it. We don't need to compromise. We must stand on the Word of God. And what it says there, I love this. What he says in the middle of verse 7, if you'll notice there, he says, "Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." You know, he says, don't deviate to the left or the right. And you think about when you're traveling on a journey, you're going somewhere, you know, you're endeavoring to go in a straight line, right? If you're going from one point to another, you want to travel in a straight line. But you know what? If that microphone down there is my destination, if I just deviate just a little to the left and I start this direction, well, I'm just right on the path right here. But I've made just a little bit of a turn. I haven't deviated, but just a little bit to the left. But I start off on this trajectory, and this is where I'm supposed to be over here. And I keep going, and I end up over here. What on earth happened? And I was supposed to be over there. And it was just a little bit of deviation. That's why it is so vitally important to keep all the law. Not to turn over just a little bit. Satan wants you just to make a little turn. Just make a little compromise. Oh, you Baptists, you guys just major on the minors. You guys are just so legalistic. All these things that we get told why we shouldn't do things according to... And we're not saying you should do something contrary to Scripture. We're just saying, well, I just look at my Bible, and the Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And simple doctrinal truths that we can find right from the Word of God, we must not deviate from those. But there is much pressure to deviate to the left or right. But we must have courage to stand and do according to all that the Word of the Lord says. Look in verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You know, Joshua's leadership doesn't just depend on obeying the law, but also speaking and meditating on the law. And what do we mean by that? God wanted Joshua, he wanted the word to become a part of his life. He didn't want it to be just a thing that Joshua did. And sometimes it's very easy, especially as young people, if we grow up in church, we're told, do this, do that, act this way, read your Bible, do your master's club verses, do all these things. We're do. And that is good. We should do all those things. And we as parents should train and teach our kids to do those things. But at some point, as a young person, we need to make the change from just do, to it's become a part of me. And it's my faith. It's what I believe about God's word. It's what I want to do. Not just because mom and dad tell me to do it, but I want to do this because this is what is pleasing to the Lord. And for you to do it, young person, you're going to have to be strong and have good courage. Because the world out there does not want you to follow and be obedient to the Word of God and also to make those things yours. The world is putting much pressure on young people today. And we see many people. You know, I taught the youth group for a number of years at our church. And unfortunately, many of those kids that passed through my class, you know, grew up in a godly home, grew up being taught the right things, and were taught the right things from the pulpit and in the Sunday school class. But sometimes what happened, there was a lack of transition from what was being taught from the pulpit and taught from the Sunday school class. It never became a part of them. And you know what happened? They began to deviate. They began to drift. And now some of those kids have just made a complete mess of their life when they could have been honoring and serving God if they only had not deviated from the law. But Joshua, for him to have success in going into the promised land and leading the nation of Israel, he didn't need to just follow the rules, but it needed to become a part of his life. And you know what it says there at the end of it? He says that then thou shalt have good success. You know, if Joshua would do these things, then his way would be prosperous. You know, not sometimes in the world's economy. Sometimes we're always thinking, when he says prosperous, that means, well, I'm just going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And then we go look around Baptist churches and says, there's obviously something wrong here. We don't know. There's some sort of disconnect there, but that's not the kind of promises that God's making to, for us to all be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Success is measured in God's economy in many different ways. God can sometimes bless us financially, and we're thankful when he does that. But a blessing of having all your children saved and serving the Lord, that's great riches. Having a wonderful relationship with your spouse that is rich and sweet and real. We just saw a couple in our church who faithfully served the Lord for 45 some years, just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. And what a wonderful thing to see that. And their kids serving God, and one's a missionary, and seeing those types of things, that is true success. Now, are they like on the Fortune 500 list of the richest people in the world? No. But in God's eyes, they're very rich. Amen. Let's look at verse 9. It says this, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage." This is starting to sound repetitive, isn't it? "Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." You know, God is telling Joshua once again here, be strong and of a good courage. And then he even goes further than that. He says, be not afraid. If you look in the Hebrew very deeply, what that means, it means don't be afraid. Amen. And why would Joshua be afraid? I don't know. Maybe because of Jericho? Maybe because of all the walled and strong cities? Maybe because there's a flooded Jordan River that he's got to take millions of people over and cross? Maybe he's feeling a little bit afraid because he knows he isn't Moses. He wasn't trained in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house, and learning leadership and all these kinds of things. He was a servant for Moses. That's what he was. He was a servant. That was Joshua's job. And all those things could be swirling around in your mind when you're Joshua. And that may make him fearful, but God is telling him, don't be afraid, be strong. And then he also says, don't be dismayed. And what does that mean? Don't lose courage. You know, sometimes we can start out really strong. It's like, we're going on visitation. We are going on visitation this Saturday. We're going to go out. We're going to go. And then we get there. It's like, okay, we're here. Now I'm going to go knock on that first door. Okay, well, brother, why don't you get that one? Sometimes we lose heart a little bit. I know I've been there. We have courage there for a second, but we have a tendency sometimes, or we sometimes make a commitment, we're going to do this, or I am going to go talk to that person or that family member about the Lord, and then we can think of a million reasons why we can't. We sometimes lose courage in what God has convicted us and told us he wants us to do, and he's telling Joshua, don't lose courage. I've told you to be courageous, and why? God is going with Joshua. He's like, Joshua, I am not expecting you to do this by yourself. I'm going right there beside you. So as we think about this passage, how can we apply it to our everyday lives? Now, we are not getting ready to lead a nation to go conquer land. At least I don't think anybody's got plans to do that here tonight. But you know, there is great application for each of our lives, and we must be strong and of a good courage because the battle we have to fight is difficult, and the task that we have to accomplish is great. You know, as we look at the Great Commission, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is an impossible task, humanly speaking, for a church to accomplish. It just is. It's a great task. I mean, even just as a church, that your goal is just to endeavor to evangelize Whiteman Air Force Base, Knob Noster, and the surrounding communities. That is a very big endeavor and a very difficult one to do. But God wants us to be strong enough and of good courage. You know, he wants us to put on the whole armor of God. He wants us, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, we need to be strong and have a good courage because the enemy wants to take you out. We need to be on point. We need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to stand against the wiles of the devil that want to attack. And God wants us to be strong and of a good courage because he is going to help us have victory. And the second thing, we must be strong and very courageous. How do we do that? Or why do we need to be strong and very courageous? You know, just like he's telling Joshua here, is that so we can be people of the word. It takes strength to be people of the word. It takes discipline to get up and be faithful, to be in our Bible every single day. It takes time. It takes effort. You know, he says there, as he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You know, it tells me that we need to tell it all. God's word needs to be in our mouth. You know, we can talk about so many different things so easily. We can talk about the weather and sports and all the things going on. And then when it comes to saying a good word about God or just how God has blessed our life, we immediately get tongue-tied so many times. And God wants us to not let his words depart out of our mouth. And I think even for parents, in sharing God's word with our children and teaching, I think it's so wonderful that you have the Master's Club and kids are teaching and learning the Bible. But you know what, parents? It shouldn't just be in here. You know what this is? This is supplemental. What should be happening in the home is that's where the Bible training should be taking place. That's when the teaching should be taking place. And we need to be teaching and telling everything and not let the word of God depart out of our mouth. And also I see that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You know, God is telling Joshua and telling us tonight that we need to do it all. We like many times to take Christian service like a menu at McDonald's or your favorite fast food place of choice, maybe Chick-fil-A, for example. And we want to say, well, I want to order this Christian service here, and I want a little bit of that. Oh, these things down here, oh, I don't like to do that. I don't like kids. I'm not going to work with kids. But I want some of this over. I'm not a people person. I don't want that Christian service either. And I'm also not a morning person. I'm not going to order some of that. And we think because of our personality and who we are that we get to pick and choose how we serve God. No, God wants us to do it all. He wants every single one of us to be committed to serving him, being a witness, being at church, in our Bibles, praying, all the things that God desires for us. We don't get to pick and choose. He wants us to do it all. And also, I see here that we need to know it all. You know, knowing God's word was essential for Joshua, and it's also essential for us today. We do not have an excuse to not know God's word. In 2026, we have access to the most incredible resources that's ever been to be able to study our Bible. You know, back in the good old days, I mean, Brother Abels tells his stories of when he was here and studying and to preach and things like that, how he would get his Bible out and his strong, exhaustive concordance. He would lay them down on the table and he'd be writing stuff. We don't have to open up our giant, strong, exhaustive concordance and go paging through it to find stuff anymore. All we got to do is two taps on our phone and we've got it all right there. Every single one of us can be a student of God's word if we choose to. That's not just relegated to those that are in Bible Institute. Every single one of us should know and understand what God's word says. And, you know, if there's things that get confusing and we don't understand, I'm sure Brother Merrick would love to share that with you. But a lot of that stuff, we can do our own research. We don't have to just take, you know, and the reason why Berean Baptist Church is called Berean Baptist Church is because those at Berea were more noble than Thessalonica because they searched the scripture daily to see if those things were so. That's why where Berean Baptist Church came from was that concept. But each one of us should be Bereans in that we should want, you know, don't take my word for it, what I've said. Look and see if it lines up with the word of God. That's what each one of us should endeavor to do. And if we will endeavor to know what God's word said and live by it, you won't see churches drifting off into apostasy Because the church is the one that needs to know what they believe. You don't have to just take the pastor's word for it. The whole church should believe what the pastor believes, which is what the Bible teaches. And we should be moving forward to serve God in that way. And then also, not only should we know it all, we also need to live it all. Meditating day and night. The Word of God needs to become a part of our lives personally. And true success cannot be had in our lives outside of God's blessing. You know, we must do these things. We need strength and courage to do these things, but we can never have the success that God desires to have and the blessings that God wants to give us outside of being obedient to Him. You know, many times we want to not be obedient to God, but we also want all the blessings too. No, the blessings are reserved for those who are obedient to God. And then thirdly, we need to be strong and courageous once again. And why? Because just like God was telling Joshua in verse 9, to be not afraid and neither be thou dismayed, the reality is sometimes for us, living for the Lord can be fearful. We sometimes can be fearful in our service to God, that we don't take a bold stand for God. You know, when we have an opportunity to say something for Christ, we walk away. I know, I think about one time, this is a long time ago, but it tells you how much it has stuck with me. You know, a gentleman at work, I was new to work, I was just at my first real job out of college, and I don't know what I was doing. I was just kind of walking around, minding my own business, smiling on my face. I like to smile. And so I was smiling, just walking around. And he's like, "Forrester, why are you smiling so much?" And I could have said, "You know why I'm smiling so much? Because Jesus Christ saved my soul. I'm on my way to heaven. I have all the promises of God. God has been so good to me in my life, and I'm just thankful, and I have the joy of the Lord." And instead, I was like, "I don't know. I guess I'm just a happy guy." I mean, what a terrible waste that was. But I think many times we take opportunities and don't share the truth of God's word with others because we are fearful. And sometimes we don't have the courage we need to do what God asks of us. You know, God wants us to be, if God is working in your heart, I mean, sometimes God speaks to us in very clear ways about something that He wants us to do. And He's showing us, "I want you to do this," or "I want you to take this stand," or "this change needs to take place in your family or in your life." And many times, we don't feel like we have the courage to do it. And maybe we don't take that step of faith. I think many times people don't come to the altar and respond as much because they just don't have the courage to come down here to make a public profession, a public stand that says, you know, certain messages are preached and they're hard messages. But God has spoken to us very clearly and we want to hide out in our pew rather than deal with what God has clearly spoken to us about. You know what we need to have? Courage. To say, "Yes, God spoke to my heart." And I just bet that if God spoke to your heart, there's probably about 5 or 6, 10, half dozen, maybe half the congregation that God also spoke to their heart too. And they're waiting for somebody to have some courage and take a lead in Christian service, in coming to an altar, in responding, in many things. You know, maybe somebody's just waiting to go on visitation for you to ask them to go with them. But we can be successful tonight in God's service. That's really, I want us to remember tonight is we can have success in the Christian life. We do not have to be the 97-pound weakling in serving God. We can have great victory. We can have great success in serving the Lord. And why is that? Look down at the end of verse 9. "For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." You know, as we walk with God, He's not leaving us alone. He's going to walk with us every single step of the way. So whatever God is calling you to do, whatever God wants you to be, however God wants you to serve, I want to encourage you tonight, church, be strong and of a good courage. We can do it. And I'm so, this church is such an encouragement to me, just knowing the history of this church and seeing you all here and hearing the singing and feeling the spirit and seeing all that's going on here. It is such a blessing to see how God is working in this church. And I just want to challenge and encourage you, keep doing what you're doing. Keep serving God. Keep doing more. Keep reaching more people. We don't have to be afraid. The Lord is with us. You know, he didn't fail Moses. He didn't fail Joshua. He's not going to fail you either. So be strong and of a good courage. Let's all stand together tonight.